Now, if you would please turn with me to Psalm 133. We will be reading the three verses of that psalm and then also three verses of the next Psalm 134. Psalms 133 and 134. Let us give our undivided attention to the reading of God's most holy word. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. And then please turn with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter and the second verse, which is one of the greetings. Paul greets the church at Ephesus with these words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he indeed bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. As you may well know, perhaps even just without thinking about it, that one of the first things with respect to the beginning of the worship service is what we call in the bulletin the salutation. The pastor holds up his hands and greets the congregation with those words which we just read, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is not a small thing. This is not just something that we do in order to get things going. Literally, it is, in fact, and it follows the call. So literally is, in fact, God saying to you, to the congregation, to his people gathered for worship, "Welcome into my house. I give you my blessing." And literally by means, as we noted it in Psalm 134, that the extending of the hands, the lifting of the hands by the servants of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the priests as they served in the tabernacle, by that means implies the pronouncement of a blessing on the part of God on his people. And the same again at the end of the service, that as we leave the presence of God, he sends us again with his blessings. Now, some of you might remember, I believe it was actually on Christmas Day in our worship service, that a student was preaching under the authority of the elders. But since I was present, I came forward and announced or did the salutation at the end again, the benediction. And I understand that there were a few people who were kind of wondering what that was all about. What's the big deal? Well, it is really all about an understanding of the official nature of what worship is. It's really where it goes back to. What do we really mean by coming to meet with God? It's not just an expression, but in fact that we, by faith, of course, but by faith, we literally do come to the door of God's house, and he welcomes us in to his presence, that temple made without hands. And in that context, God speaks. and we respond. And the various greetings that Paul addresses the churches, not only in Ephesus, but many of his letters. And we see this greeting. It is based on coming into the presence of God by grace. So we're going to be seeking to understand what is the benefit of coming into the presence of God. And peace. What are the implications of that? Again, I want to reiterate, this is not a small thing. This is not just a little point that we make and go through kind of emotions that doesn't really mean. It is all about how we understand worship. In Hebrews 12 and verse 22, the word of God says this of worship. It says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. As I said, by faith, we have done just that. We are now literally, by faith, again, in the house of God. He has welcomed us into his presence. Yes, God is everywhere present. Wherever you live your life, wherever you faithfully serve him, and whatever situation that you are in, God is there with you, of course. But there is a special sense. We see that in various different ways throughout the scripture. The best description that we have of that is that we meet with God face to face, the most intimate coming into the presence of God and simply experiencing the presence of God. It is based on the official corporate gathering of his people when his people come together in a corporate way, in a public way, under the elder, under leadership of the elders of the church by whose authority we do meet, with the guidance of the creeds of the church, by means of the formal calling on the name of God. That is where we are at right now. It is the corporate gathering called by the office of the church under the guide of the creeds of the church. Now you might say, but that's not what is happening here in Ephesus. Paul is simply writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. And then it's just a greeting. How are you doing in Ephesus? Well, the essence, the relationship that exists between God and his people. Think about the context of Adam and Eve in the garden prior to the fall into sin. There was conversation taking place between God and Adam, but it was more than that. It was simply experiencing. This is who we are as God's people, or as people created in the image of God. It is what is normal for us. It is what we rejoice in. It is what makes us understand life fully, to be in the presence of God. And the central to that is the word of God being spoken. To be right with God, to be his people, trust in Christ for salvation, having the benefits of Christ's work for us on the cross. To be right with God is to be in communion with God. Now the prophet Habakkuk said that God is in his temple, no one else. That is to say that he is the one who speaks. By means of the authors, Paul to Ephesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, other authors speaking. Yes, that word is then written down, is the word that we have today. From Scripture, we know further. In other words, that word is written and sent to the church at Ephesus. We know that the practice was that, for example, when a church like Ephesus would receive a letter from Paul, it would be read in the worship service and then sent on to another church, for example, in Laodicea, and they would read it. But from Scripture, we know further that we, as we worship and come into the presence of God, God continues to speak. We have the written word of God. But in the worship service, with the ministry of the word, God speaks to us. He speaks to us in his Son, the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Well, that's what you are hearing, literally. Romans 10:14. So how can we believe unless we hear him, the shepherd? God speaks to you today. And it is in that sense his message delivered by the authorized, ordained individual, normally one who holds the office of minister of the word, but also those who are in training for that offices, who are under oversight, under the authority of the eldership. But again, the point is that God is speaking to you. So considering, and even if I may, underscoring this, if you want to call it that, high view of what worship is, that is meeting with God. Jesus speaks to you. You are acknowledged as the people of God. And so we understand by that means the idea of office. There is a particular authorization. There is a particular office given for that purpose. God in his wisdom has determined to use weak, sinful men to be the spokesman to proclaim his word. And so as we do enter in his presence, the ordained minister, the one who holds that office, by virtue of the office, not by virtue of his own person, but by virtue of the office, holding up his hands is literally saying, or literally, I should say, God saying to you, "Welcome. You are now with me in my house. You are here by grace, and that means peace to you." Now, on the occasion when a student authorized by the elders to lead the service, and there is, as normally probably would be the case, no ordained minister there, it doesn't mean that we're then not meeting with God, that somehow it's not an official worship service, or it's any less the word of God being spoken. It's just that we, at that moment, did not receive that official greeting by God. So it simply puts the importance and the significance of being welcomed by God himself into his very presence. Understand the implications of the situation. We are meeting with God. He has said, "You are welcome in my house." And as the priests did by the raising of the hands, it signifies the giving and the pronouncement of the blessing of God on his people. Now the question must be asked, how can that be possible? How can that be possible? How can we who are fallen in nature, who still struggle with a fallen nature in our hearts, how can we who have sinned in some extent, perhaps even in everything that we do, to some extent, there is sin involved in all of our actions, how is it possible for us to come to the presence of God? Did not God literally kick man out of the Garden of Eden after sin? Because God cannot have unholiness in his presence. Did not the children of Israel, when they were told in Exodus 19 to get ready and to meet with God at Mount Sinai, and they found it to be a horrible experience, and they said to Moses, "Don't let God meet with us again. You go meet with him." Well, of course, and this is absolutely important to understand and to proclaim, that not only that, only that which is holy, only that which is holy can come into the presence of God. But that's just the point. To be greeted by God then says something about your stand with God. It's that we have received the benefits of Christ's work, whose blood has washed away our sins. We have received the benefits of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And thus the greeting, first of all, of grace that God pronounces, yes, you're coming into my midst and you're coming into my presence because of the work of the Son, Jesus Christ, by whom sins have been covered and by whom you have been made righteous. So what is grace? That's a whole semester's study in seminary, right? The simplest idea of being under grace is to know that the benefits of the work of Christ's work of redemption are yours. The pronouncement of God of blessing is a pronouncement of redemption. The message that God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden is one of redemption. And here's the thing, if it were up to you or I, let's be clear. If it were up to any of us individual or any individual to figure out how or what we could do in order to gain our way and be acceptable to come into the presence of God based on who we are and what we have done, there is not one who could come into the presence of God. God does not welcome you into his house based on anything that you have done or who you are. It is all by what Christ has done. Unearned, there's the grace. Undeserved, there's the grace. But freely given by the love of God. And you embrace that with your faith. Thus we are reminded immediately of our complete reliance upon Christ. And so the question is, what has in fact Christ done? Let's be clear about that. What can we trust in? What is ours that Christ has done for us? Summed up by Paul in Romans 5 verse 9, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We certainly do not want to say that Christ didn't do enough. We would not want to say that the covering by the blood of Christ wasn't sufficient to make us righteous and acceptable before God. That to having the benefits of his redeeming work, that still kind of leaves a problem between us and God. By implication, when God says grace, he pronounces to you that you are covered. You have received the full benefits of his work. And as you stand there at the door, God says, welcome into my presence. I welcome you based on what has been freely given unto you, the eternal plan by God to redeem his people through his Son. It means this great opportunity to hear God, to respond in praise unto him, is given to you. It's not earned. It's by grace. Now the word peace, especially as it is used in the original, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, is an interesting word. Its most basic is simply to say, everything's okay. Everything's okay. If you think about, and there's many different instances in life that we can point to, but think about when you go to bed at night and you're about ready to fall asleep and all of a sudden it comes in your head, did I remember to lock the door or not? And you're kind of unease and you're struggling. Or perhaps you go to bed at night and you think about, you know, that word I said to my spouse, that I shouldn't have said that, and you're troubled by that. Maybe you think about the things that you should have prayed for or done for your neighbor and you didn't, and you're not at ease. Everything is not well. When it comes to the word peace, it simply means in life, in situation, all is well. And of course, when it comes to God, the issue is that of sin. Sin does not allow for peace. Sin causes man to be troubled. Remember when God called to Adam and Eve after they sinned, they were troubled. They hid away from God. Things were not okay. And when God pronounces to his people based on grace, peace to you, it means God is pronouncing to you that everything is just okay. The issue of sin is dealt with. Your nature of sin, it's covered. That word that you spoke that you should not have, it's covered. Doesn't mean it's okay. Doesn't mean that, well, it's no really big deal. Whatever I do, I can always know that God has covered it for me. No, it does have real consequences in life. But the harsh word spoken to your spouse, God says, it's no longer there between you and the judgment seat of God. All is removed. How so? How can that be? Because the blood of Christ has covered it. That's how God's people stand with God. It is okay. God's wrath against sin has been poured out on his Son. To say that God's wrath against sin is still somehow on me and God is still somehow angry with me is to say that the wrath that was poured out on the Son of God did not really effectively get the job done. Congregation, that's unbelief. That's denial of the work of Christ. By the way, the child of God, the true child of God, whose faith is in Jesus Christ, does stand righteous before God. Certainly the consequences of sin are serious. The consequences of fallen nature for even the most faithful believer are real. We learned this morning from the Psalms, Psalm 119, that sin has serious consequences. We want to take seriously the exhortation. But when you come into the presence of God, he receives you based on Christ, and you are right with God. Obviously, we have just barely scratched the surface when it comes to the concepts of grace and peace. But the essence to understand that is, again, back to understanding the greeting of God itself. We are meeting with God. He has declared us to be welcome in his presence, the holy God. He has described what that means. So here's the thing. Again, as I said, this is not just a small thing. This is not sort of a casual situation at the right point. Someone holds their hands up and says greeting and so on and so forth, and we sing a song. This is meeting with him. Nothing can be more important. This meeting with God is one that ought to bring tears to your eyes when you think of what is there, and joy in your heart on your lips. You want to respond to God with all your heart, with all the excitement of celebrating life in Christ. Other than the clear providence of God, such as health or weather, is there anything that you would want to be more sure about, that you don't miss, is to come into the presence of God in worship? Now, of course, when we say the pronouncement of God, it's not an absolute in the sense there might possibly be someone who does not know Christ as their Savior. It doesn't mean that their sins are still covered, but it does mean that they have met with the people of God and they have seen what that means. Should there be anyone here this morning, I call on you to put your faith and trust in Christ. They know that meeting with God's people and know what it means to be the people of God. I come back again to the idea of communion. It's a big word. To be with God. He is the source of life. We look to him for life and all the blessings of God. It's expressed in an outward, in a few moments here, with the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine, that our life is fed by God himself, by faith. And when you leave this morning and the hands are raised with his blessing as you go, you immediately say, I can't wait to meet with God again. Our God and Father, what a joy, what a privilege, what an unbelievable grace that we could actually come into your house and to be declared the recipients of grace and to be in a situation of peace before you. May we truly know that, even in a small way. May we be filled with your grace and your spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.